Well, go back to when you and your spouse were dating and you saw all the wonderful qualities in them. You didn't have any problem accepting all of them because, well, they're just so wonderful. How do you keep that level of positivity going even after you've been married for a while and the flaws kind of pop up? Well, I'm John Fuller, joined by my Focus colleagues, Aaron and Greg Smalley. And Greg, focusing on the better aspects of our spouse tends to be a good decision, doesn't it?
It's a good thing. And it's not always easy because it's simple to become what's called habituated. In other words, we just get used to our spouse, and it's easy for me to get used to all the amazing aspects of who Erin is and what she does. And for me to kind of remind myself of these really good aspects, one of the things that I've done that I don't even know why I did this, but this has been happening for now years.
I can't wait to hear.
And I love it, is that when she calls me, I have it set up to where the phrase beautiful wife pops up. And so every single time.
Was that her ID?
Yeah.
On the contact?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so every time that Erin calls me, it just pops up beautiful wife. And I smile. I'm reminded. It's something that I love doing. So I would even encourage you, think about what would be this really cool ID that you could put for your spouse. So when they call, that it's just a reminder, or maybe rotate that every month, have a different aspect and character quality or personality trait of your spouse that pops up. What an easy way to do that, because you're going to get called multiple times every day. Yeah. Well, and like for me in my life, Erin probably calls me 100 times probably every day.
That's all good.
You know? Yeah. It's interesting because mine says ICE Greg Smalley.
I know,
in case of emergency. And so that's pretty romantic.
I know.
Well, we all have different positive aspects.
Stud
hot
maybe
stud.
Could pop up when I
call
Erin.
We'll go offline. We'll have a special article about nicknames you can put on your phone when your spouse calls you. Don't look for that in the show notes. We're not going to have that. But we are going to turn now to a conversation that highlights the importance of this decision to keep the positive in mind. Jim Daly and I spoke with Matt and Lisa Jacobson, and they talked about why love is not just a feeling, it's a decision as well.
Matt, you also, in your companion book, you talk about husbands needing to understand that love requires sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is another big topic. These are like bombs. You could spend an hour or two talking about. But what point are you trying to make there?
Well, there's certainly an aspect of marriage that is the romantic love eros side of marriage. And there's a whole book in the Bible that talks a lot about that. And so that's absolutely an aspect of it. But we're also called to love. The Bible says, beloved, love one another. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God, and he that loves not does not know God, for God is love. We tend to apply those kinds of scriptures to the other people in the church lobby, you know?
Mm.
But the most important person in life that you will ever have to apply that to is the person that God gave you to be one with. So you look at, beloved, let us love one another. You look at that love, and that is that agape love, that self-sacrificing, self-denying love that comes without an expectation of return. And so when we talk about God calling us to sacrifice for our spouse, we're talking about God's call to me as a man, as a husband, to love my wife the way God calls me to love other people. Uh-huh. And those verses aren't just for the other people out there. They are most specifically for the most important relationship I'm going to have this side of heaven. And so when we spend time in the Word, our mind begins to change and orient to the things that God wants of me in my marriage. And we stop thinking about our marriage as, you know, that which can give me the things that I want, and rather what God has called me to do and how God has called me to walk and love and interact with this person.
Yeah. Lisa, you had a friend that had to choose to be thankful for her husband during a work trip. Now, many wives are probably going, oh, I had that challenge too. I mean, work trips can be a real downer for marriage because one of the spouses is leaving town, probably frequently, and it begins to become a grind for the marriage.
Yeah, I was so glad to share that story because she's a dear friend, and she really struggled with having just negative cycle of thinking with her husband. And she would just start thinking of all the things he wasn't doing and how he wasn't loving her. And we've been talking a lot about this together. And so she said, oh, I went on this trip, and first night, disappointment. He ended up staying at a different spot, and she was with the kids. And she said, and then I just had this idea. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make myself write things I'm thankful for. And she said the first few kind of came a little slowly, but as she got going, she realized, you know, I'm thankful he's does a good job providing for us. I'm thankful that he plays with the kids when he gets a chance. And she said it was amazing. So she went to sleep that night with actually joyful thoughts rather than crying herself to sleep, which had been her pattern.
Well, Erin, in your counseling practice, I wonder how you've seen this work out, this idea of focusing on the positive aspects and kind of starting to let go of the little annoyances. This is kind of a major shift in mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How does that work out?
Well, I think there's several things that come to mind for me. One is I will often encourage a spouse to be intentional about remembering that however their spouse has been showing up, however they've been hurt, that is not who they are, and really recalling what is it that I cherish about my spouse. Mm. But I also know as the relationship starts to feel safer, that hearts will open, and then we automatically begin seeing some positives. So there's an intentional piece, but then also working on the relationship to improve the level of safety and security. Even just the other day, I was sitting with a couple, and they were in a hard place. And we did several sessions, and then it was a couple of weeks before they came in again. And they came in, and immediately I noticed something different. The wife's heart had softened. Hmm. And I asked her, I said, what happened? And she said, well, the more he acknowledged my pain and what we had been through, the softer my heart became. And she was able to turn toward him so much easier. And I just sat there going, it's amazing, the impact of the heart. And the good news is we control the state of our heart. Mm-hmm. And so as our heart softens, and we're also making intentional decisions to choose to remember who our spouse really is, you know, in combination, I think a great methodology.
Yeah. Well, there are so many simple things you can do to strengthen your marriage. And we've got a couple of things I want to point out. One is an article we're going to link over to. It's called 4 Ways Couples Can Wake Up from Feeling Stuck in Marriage. It's free. I think you'll find it really helpful no matter where you're at in your relationship. And then for a one-time gift of any amount, we're going to say thank you for your support of Focus on the Family and all that we're doing to strengthen marriages by sending a bundle of books, 2 books by Matt and Lisa Jacobson, Loving Your Husband Well and Loving Your Wife Well. We've put those together so you can both grow in appreciation for each other, and they really are a perfect follow-up to today's conversation. Details about the resources and how you can donate are in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Dr. Michael Seitzma and Shanti Feldhahn talking about sexual struggles that many couples face. And for now, on behalf of the Smalleys and our entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.